This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings. Welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad that you've chosen to be in our audience and that you're listening to the program, and we trust that we can make some comments about the Bible that will be helpful to you and that will make the Lord's presence sweeter in your life if you're saved, and which will draw you to the Lord so that you can trust Him if you're not saved. Now again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can contact me either way with prayer requests or comments on the program. This program is on the website and can be re-listened to there, and there's a weekly meditation on the website that I think most of you would find helpful. Now today I want to read from Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 15. You will remember that we are using the very last words of Peter in 2 Peter as sort of the basis for our comments now for the next few weeks. That those words are, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I do not believe that you can grow in grace without having knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it isn't just academic knowledge. It's intimate knowledge that we need to have. And that intimate knowledge starts when we first realize that He tells us the truth, that He died for our sins, and that He is trustworthy. And by trusting Him, we can have our sins put away, and we can have a home in heaven assured. That's when we first begin to know Him in a biblical sense. But we also continue to grow in our knowledge of Him as we read the Bible. And so we've been going through 44 different prophecies in the New Testament that were fulfilled when the Lord came the first time, with a desire not only to help you believe that the Lord is who He claimed to be, that the Bible is dependable, but to help you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His character. And if the Lord was gracious, then those of us that are saved, who say that we've been born again, who have a new nature, we also should reflect the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Paul's epistles that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And so we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to read about a very sorrowful event in Jeremiah chapter 31. It starts like this. Verse 15 says, "Thus says the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel, weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more." Now I'm also going to go to Matthew 2 and show how Matthew considers that to be fulfilled. He writes this. Matthew 2, verse 16. "Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more." And so when we look at the Lord's coming into this world, we can see that because Herod wanted to make sure that there would be no one who would compete with him for the throne, he made sure that the children 2 years old and under were destroyed, thinking that that would destroy this child that had been born king of the Jews. And he had heard about this child through the wise men that came from the east, those wise men who likely came out of the area of Iraq where Daniel was taken captive, those wise men that likely knew something of the prophecies of the Lord because of the faithfulness of Daniel, who would not submit himself to the pagan system of a soothsaying that the Babylonian king was used to, but he he tried to represent, he didn't try to, he did represent the one true God and was able to interpret dreams and guide the kings of that day because of his faithfulness to the Lord. And likely, instead of the world changing Daniel into a pagan, Daniel changed some of those wise men in Babylon into worshipers of Jehovah. And they came looking for the Christ child. They were expecting to find him. They had seen his star in the east. And of course, we could spend a lot of time on what that sign was and why they believed in a star from the east. But they followed it. And when Herod realized that they were looking for this one who had been born king of the Jews, he wanted to get rid of them. So we have people from the east who would be considered Gentiles that believed the prophecy. We have Herod who believed about the prophecies but never believed in the Christ child who could have put away his sins. And so when we look at belief in the Bible, it becomes very evident that there's different kinds of belief. There are those today who would tell us that everything that we're talking about is simply a myth. But it's not a myth. Even Peter, as we've said before in his epistle, said, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And he's talking about the fact that Peter and James and John saw the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they got a little glimpse of the glory that the Lord would have in eternity when they saw him on the Mount. These are not cunningly devised fables. And so it appears that there were people in Iraq who believed what Daniel preached them and actually believed in or trusted in the Lord. And then there was Herod, who believed that he needed to get rid of this Christ child, and in that sense believed these prophecies as well. But his belief never saved him, because his belief was simply a desire to fight against God. He never came to trusting faith in the Lord Jesus. So as we look at these prophecies, we can see that the Lord's coming into this world caused great sorrow in the area around Bethlehem. We know that that was the city of David. That's where the Christ child was to come from. Of course, it took a census on the part of Herod to move, or actually on the part of Caesar, to move Joseph and Mary from Nazareth down to Bethlehem, where the Lord was born, because Joseph and Mary had been residing in Nazareth. But nevertheless, this king, who was so determined that he would try to eliminate his competition, slew all of these children. So there is a great deal of sorrow associated with the Lord coming into this world. And of course, the Lord himself, we read, was a man of sorrows. Sometimes we sing that song, "Man of Sorrows, what a name, for the Son of Man who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior." He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief, we read in Isaiah 53. "And we hid," that is, the Jewish people hid, as it were, their faces from him. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And when I think of this sorrow, I think of the sorrow that there is in the world even today. As I am recording this a few days before you'll actually hear it on the radio, we have just experienced one of the worst hurricanes ever to hit Puerto Rico. And we know that there's going to be a devastating loss of life there. And we have witnessed a great earthquake that has hit Mexico City. And right now, people are trying to find children that have probably been buried in an elementary school that fell during that earthquake. And there's sorrow. And people say, "Well, why is there such sorrow in the world? Couldn't a God who loves us keep us from having such sorrow?" And I am reminded of the verse in James, or not just the verse, several verses in the book of James, which says, "My brethren, James 1, starting at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But what I found interesting is that as James writes, he's telling us that trials are a blessing. Now, they don't seem like a blessing, but even in Ecclesiastes, the writer of Ecclesiastes, who likely was Solomon when he was perhaps restored to the Lord, or perhaps still away from the Lord after he had moved to the worship of some of the pagan gods of his wives, he says that it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. And so when we go to a house of mourning, we think about our own relationship with God. When we see sorrow in the world, we think of our own relationship with God. I have to admit that today I'm thankful that I'm not in Puerto Rico. My wife and I really considered making a trip down there this fall or perhaps this winter, and it never worked out. Now I'm seeing that the Lord has preserved us from being there during or perhaps right after this hurricane, and frankly, I would be overhead to them as far as trying to clean up after a hurricane. I'm not that handy, and I would never want to get in the way of those who are going to take the time to go down there and help. And it's possible we could have been there to help and to comfort people at this time. But nevertheless, when I look at those sorrows, and when I look at the potential for the sorrow that could come from a war with North Korea, it scares me. But yet I think of how that the Lord has told those of us that are saved that he'll be with us through the trial. He says that even to Israel in the Old Testament, when you pass through the fire, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, I'll be with you. When you pass through the floods, I'll be with you. And so for the child of God, we walk by faith and not by sight, and we understand that while sin came into the world and caused all of these calamities to develop, yet at the same time there's a God in heaven who takes a personal interest in everyone who trusts in him. And so there were a lot of children that died that day, and I'm going to tell you something that you probably don't want to hear. I believe that those children under 2 years old of age, even though it was an atrocity, I believe those children were spared from being raised in a world that might have caused them to be unbelievers and go to hell. And as a result, I believe they died in their innocency, and I personally believe that they'll all be in heaven, and I believe God is glorified in what took place there on the part of Herod, as Herod destroyed those children, hoping to destroy the Lord. But this prophecy was fulfilled and gives us confidence that the Lord knew exactly what was going to happen when the Lord came into this world. And I'm assuring you right now that trusting the Lord not only makes sense, but it will secure your destiny for eternity. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon all those who have listened. We just thank thee for thy salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.